Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, Singapore-headquartered InstaRem is the only digital cross-border payments company with presence across Asia-Pacific, North America and Europe, covering over 40 countries worldwide. It's created a unique payments mesh, which is being leveraged by individuals, SMEs and financial institutions to make fast, low-cost cross-border payments to more than 55 countries.
And on the 29th of August, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, the MAS, began accepting applications for Singapore's first digital bank initiative, where a number of startups in the e-payments and e-wallet scene have begun showing interest as Singapore's banking industry is set to see its most significant disruption in the last 20 years. Well, let's find out more from Prajit Nanu, CEO and co-founder of InstaRem. Well, things of all the hoopla all about. Well, Prajit, a digital bank digital banks has become a buzzword in the financial sector. What's the big deal?
Thanks for having me here. I think the key thing is it's actually a hoopla. Because in a market like Singapore, the three big banks here already do a great job. So though the digital bank announcement has come in, and as you may have read, InstaRem is applying to become a digital bank, I think the opportunities here are very going to be interesting. So you'll see real innovation come out because it's such a small market. If you look at the consumer retail license, your paid up capital is going to be $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. Now it's a small market. It's an over-bank market. I think banks do a great job here. We had a colleague who moved from Hong Kong to Singapore. She went online and in the evening she had a debit card, right? And compare this to Hong Kong, where you'll take 3 months to get a debit card, 6 months to get a credit card. I think banks do a great job. Now, you have to imagine that you're going to create something which is transformative. So the Singapore license, the reason it's exciting is you'll see real innovation come out, because as part of MAS's requirement also, they've pushed the fact that innovation has to be at the forefront and they just don't want people cutting costs to acquire clients.
How will this hurt, though, local lenders? It's the granting of 5 bank licenses, I understand.
Right. I think any competition only creates new products, new innovation aspects, right? I don't think anyone will get hurt because it's a very tough market. So what will help is customers will get better pricing. They'll get more opportunities, more products. That's the interesting element which you'll see. So what you'll see is that as a customer, this is going to benefit you significantly. As a lender, it's going to force you to think creatively. So I think it's a win-win for everyone in that market. So I don't think it's a way that any one single person will lose. And imagine the 5 guys are going to start from scratch. They don't have a single customer. The lenders have this book which is already in place. Do you think they're going to let go of the book that easily?
Yeah.
Be ready for, as a consumer, 2021 should be exciting.
Absolutely.
But as a consumer, very quickly, how much more beneficial will it be? Like, so you said your colleague who came here got a debit card at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She might be able to, say, in 2021, get it in 20 minutes.
Even today, you can get it in 20 minutes if you walk into a branch.
I think the
value is going to be innovation, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone yet, and I've spoken to so many people who are building consortiums. I know so many people who are applying for license. I don't think everyone wants to be a digital bank. No one yet knows what kind of digital bank or what service are they going to provide yet. Mm-hmm. So I think we're still slightly early. But as a consumer, SME, just wait for 2021. There'll be a lot of fireworks. I think it's going to supercharge the economy as well, because it's, banking is a sector is considered to be an old school sector, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Suddenly it'll get the vitality shot it requires with so many new players, new products. I think the old school brands will have to really fight against the new guys.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be hungry for business.
I'm sure. Well, speaking of the new digital bank license requirements, we know that the regulators are really seeking for players who are value add to the current system, as you correctly mentioned just now. Do you have any thoughts about the stress and the emphasis on this?
Yeah, actually, right. So if you look at it, if you open a wallet today, each person who resides here has at least minimum two bank accounts. Very rarely would you see someone with only one bank account, right? Mm-hmm. It's an over-bank market. It's an over-carded market, right? So what is the retail innovation can you do? right? So that's a significant aspect which they want to do. SME segment, anyone who basically wants to get a loan gets a loan from the bank, and then you've got other mid-tier firms basically which offer loans. So the innovation, unless there is an innovation, you're already covered in a market. So how are you going to attract new customers? So I think MAS's push is, easiest way to attract people in the past has been to reduce rates. Offer like keep money with us instead of 80 basis points as fixed deposit rates, I'll give you 110 basis points. So MAS is trying to avoid that. What they're trying to say is come up with really true innovation. What is the true innovation? You know, having spoken to so many people, I'll tell you today, nobody knows. So, but I'm sure, you know, as and when now we are going through the whole proposal building stage, we'll definitely come out with some early thoughts on what that innovation can be.
Okay. Also in the second quarter of the year, though, the financial sector posted a growth of 5.2% amid economic slowdown. Despite that, in Singapore and other markets in the region, might this help, say, workforce expansion in fintech, which is also facing labor crunch?
No, in fact, it's absolutely been fantastic for us, right? Because Singapore is a market where to hire is very difficult because salaries are extremely high. Startups don't pay that well. So a market where suddenly the crunch appears, we are always hiring. So there has been a time where we are not hiring. So this allows us to hire people affordable to us from what we can pay. So I think if you look at us, we are constantly hiring in all markets where we are functional. And a crunch like this only helps us get better candidates we would have not got because they have a corporate job.
Well, you're listening to First Things First Friday on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. We're talking to Prajit Nanu, CEO and co-founder of Instaram. Well, let's now get to talk about Instaram a little bit, and let's go back a little bit. What is the genesis of Instaram?
It was a bachelor party, actually.
What? That is one we have not heard. Yeah, we've heard of it. It came to us in a dream, or it's something I've always wanted to do, but bachelor party.
Yeah, bachelor party. So my best friend was getting married, and he basically asked me to organize a bachelor party.
Okay.
So I had to actually send somebody some money in Thailand, and those days I was residing in India. And I said, okay, I'll send the money, but he said it has to come to my bank account. And the whole process of sending the money, the amount of documentation, the amount of fees, etc., was such a nightmare that suddenly I felt that, hey, why can't this be a business? Like, why can't this be a, you know, a payment company which I can build? And, you know, the question I keep always asking people who have come to me and say that, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. My question to is, how many domains have you ever registered?
Sure.
Like, because over the last 10, 12 years, I must have registered 10 to 15 domains. Like, every time I want to start a business, I'll register the domain, do nothing. Right, so so this time I said, listen, I'm going to do this seriously. Pick that up. This was, as you can imagine, at the worst bachelor party ever. So 2013 September, then spent the whole of 2014 building a lot of the basics, raising some capital, and then March of 2015 we actually started.
How much has the cross-border payments market changed since you incepted Instaram?
Significantly. And I think in a way, I'm very pleased that we were one of the, you know, primary groundbreakers in this. So banks, for example, or other payment providers were not competitive. They used to charge a significant amount of fee. So to give you an example, our first market we cracked was Australia. And Australia, we were about 30%, we were about 50% cheaper than the market, right? And now what's happened is that we are the old boys and now there are new players who are driving the price even further down. Exactly. And I think it's great for a consumer, right? And that's why our genesis is all about. And I think what we're seeing is transformation and growth, and now the expectation of people has also increased, right? Like, you know, we will send payments within 30 seconds and they'll be like, oh, is there a way to crunch it up even faster, right?
Yeah.
So expectations have also increased, but it's good. You know, that puts pressure on us to innovate, to create new platforms for our customers.
So how has Instaram evolved as a result? I mean, are there challenges they meet along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I have a photo, you know, which I fondly showed a lot of people that 5 years back before I started, I was 10 kgs lighter and a full thick of hair. And now basically I'm 10 kgs heavier and basically zero hair. Right?
Yeah.
So I think so it takes a lot. So now if you look at Instagram, we've got teams from say Australia to Seattle. So as you can imagine, my day starts at 6 and shuts at like midnight, right? And I have a 9-month-old now. So, right?
Belated congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's... So, you know, if you look at that, going back to the seriousness of the topic, people become a very important challenge because you're looking to hire people who have got that fire in the belly, who know what needs to get done. And each market is very different, right? Culturally different. We have a team in Lithuania, which is so culturally different than India, so culturally different than Malaysia. Getting all of them together is a tough task, right? Getting everyone on the same mindset is a tough task. So people is one. I think the big positive change we've seen is regulatory. So years back when we started, 5 years back, we were never offered a seat on the table. We were basically said, oh, whatever inputs you have, please send an email, which basically went into a mailbox which no one checked.
Right or now, spam.
Exactly, right? So in December this year, you know, I've been invited by in Japan by the whole banking system, which is the International Settlement Agency, to be part of a roundtable of how fintechs are basically approaching banks and partnerships and stuff like that. So now, you know, they're considering us big enough to have a seat on the table.
Yeah,
I think that's a big change which we've seen coming as well.
What other sorts of plus points are there being the stalwarts now? Sure, you're the ones to beat.
Correct.
The young ones are gunning for you.
I think it's good fun, right? Because what also happens is that the plus point is my LinkedIn is always full of people trying to apply for a role.
Excellent.
I think that's always...
That's good.
Right. Second plus point is also the fact that customers have become extremely demanding, saying that they would say, hey, you know, I want this, I want that, etc. So I think that is also a strong plus point because that keeps us motivated to create new things. Again, the plus point is a big brand means we can raise capital very easily. You know, we can support other young startups to grow as well.
Okay, so very quickly, where last two you are headed?
Right.
Because Lithuania is already quite far flung.
Yeah, no, so we are actually now applying for a license in Mexico. I hope I can go to Mexico. I haven't been to Latin America. So we actually, just to capture our journey. So today we are present in Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia, India, US, Europe, Canada. And now we're getting a license in Japan and Indonesia. Mexico is our next. So Latin America is going to be our next foray. So except Africa and Middle East, we're staying away. But Latin America will be a big foray for us.
So basically wherever the sun touches.
Correct.
Alrighty.
We're a Singaporean brand, right? So we should be, you know, everywhere we should go and people should feel proud that there's a Singaporean company which has gone so global.
Farjit Nannu is CEO and co-founder of InstaRem. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.